Near FM.
Hello and welcome to Into Northside Today. And that was, we had an interview with Margaret Doney, and we're now going to go to speak to a wonderful, amazing woman, Ruth Delmont. Ruth, are you on the line?
And thank you for inviting me over.
Thank you, Ruth, for being on the line today. And it's a wonderful day to come in, because this is International Day of Awesomeness, and you've done a lot of work. Now, I'm just going to give a quick background to Ruth Delmont. I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Ruth.
It's actually Rose. It's like the English Rose.
Right. You spell
it's Rose. A Dutch spelling of Rose.
Dutch, right. Thank you for that. Rose.
No problem.
Delmore is a Flemish woman from Cork, and she moved into Ireland in 1998. She's a mother of four, and she's a passionate defender of human rights and the co-founder of the International Community Dynamics, which is what Tradiners Recruit Refugees Ireland. This is one we're going to talk about today. Hey, Ruth, Rose, I keep calling you Rose. You have done amazing things, and so we want to talk about why you founded this organization, you and your co-founder.
Yes, okay, so it's a long story, but I'll try and keep it short.
Just 2 minutes.
I've been working with people in direct provision and with refugees ever since 2014, and before that with a load of migrants as well. But when the right to work came in 2018 here in Ireland, I saw people got the right to work after then it was 9 months being in the country. I noticed that it was difficult for people not just to find work, but to find decent work and work that they are qualified for. And I also talked to some employers, and I found that the willingness to hire people is there, but just everyone is just ignorant about what they can do or what is allowed and what isn't allowed. Nobody was really informed. So I thought, okay, what if I make a database with all the skills and talents of the people who are looking for work in direct provision or refugees themselves, and then try and connect that to employers. So that's where it started. I did a lot of research then, and we now have a website. It needs to be further developed, but, you know, we've come a long way since then. We officially started working in 2020, and that was, of course, COVID. So I've developed this whole service from my dinner table at home during the lockdown, yes. The plan was to start it in Cork, because that's where I live, and then slowly expand to Galway, Dublin. But because everything went online straight away, it just exploded, and we're all over the country now.
Fantastic. So now let me just get a quick understanding of how that works. So if somebody was here as a migrant and is looking for work, they would just...
Yeah.
How would they contact your organization?
Well, they can go to our website, or they can go to Facebook or whatever. The website is recruitrefugeesireland.ie. No, it's recruitrefugees.ie. Sorry. Recruitrefugees.ie. They can go there and register. And then one of us will contact. So we work with volunteers who are job coaches, because, of course, the first thing we need to do is to check how job ready somebody is. Okay, so people who come from abroad might not speak English, or might need to upskill. Their qualifications might not be recognized here, so then we need to check all those things out. So we contact the people who register with us, and then we check with them what needs to be done to get them job ready. They do those things first, and then once they're job ready, we can connect them to employers if there are jobs available.
So does that mean you were then, does your organization offer the training or send them to other places to be trained and then come back?
It depends. No, we don't. We refer to other, there are enough colleges and online colleges. There's a lot happening actually that people don't even know about, that we can refer people to, because we're too small to, I wish we could offer all the training, but that's one thing we can't. We do workshops on CV development, because one thing we noticed is that from all the CVs we got of people, not one of them was good, because people write CVs differently in every country. Okay, like for example, if you're from an African country, CVs tend to be pages and pages long with long essays on what people have done in their jobs here. It shouldn't be longer than 2 pages. And you're not supposed to put a photograph on there and stuff like that. So it's really about developing a CV in the way that it's expected here in Ireland, okay? And we've done these workshops in English. We've done them in Arabic as well. We now have somebody who speaks Somalian that we could do it in Somali if it's necessary, you know, if people ask for it. And we are now also working with someone who does manual handling training, and so we can do all those things, you know. And we work with online college that does degrees for social work and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a lot of possibilities there. And of course we collaborate with other NGOs as well, because that's the way you should do. Collaboration is everything, really, isn't it?
Right. Now, you said that, you know, they were, what kind of jobs is available to them?
Yeah,
it's
so,
from manual to what?
It's anything at the moment. Okay, we'll see in the future how this goes. I was actually, you know, there are all these critical skills jobs. So for people who want to move into Ireland, if they have a critical skill, they can get a visa to come here. But a lot of these critical skills are available in direct provision centres, you know, among the residents, and people don't realise that. I was actually talking at a panel in Trinity College in their business forum yesterday or the day before, and with two big men from the industry. They were all in both in tech companies, and they are begging for people in IT. And I said, but have you ever looked at the people in direct provision? They hadn't. You see, the employers are not aware that people in direct provision can work. And there's a misconception that they don't know how to work, you know. And we did a little survey at the beginning that we started, and 60% of our respondents have a third level education. So that is totally unexpected. Nobody expected that. But we really have everything. We have from medical doctors to cleaners, let's say. You know, it's really everything.
And so, how have they been received by the Irish companies? Because there's a culture of Irish employment.
Absolutely, and we've learned a lot. Okay, we have placed a few people, and some successfully, others have been problematic, because we need to, that's one thing we've learned now, you know, we also need to help the employers to adapt to the new workforce, okay? They need to understand, for example, if you put an Algerian worker who's just arrived in Ireland, who learned his English and all that, if you put him in West Cork, where they speak, in a West Cork accent, he will not understand a word of what's being said. Okay, and that was one of the problems, that people didn't understand the instructions. And all it needs is tell the supervisors to speak slowly and make sure everyone understands. Just say, did you understand? You know, they're small things, but people don't always think about it, and that can cause issues. Then there's also the fact that it's good to be trauma-informed. You don't need to make trauma a big thing, but it's something you need to have in the back of your mind, okay? It's a mindset, really. And what I was saying, actually, at that panel is also we all need to decolonize our minds, you know? And what I mean by that is that it's not because somebody is a refugee or an asylum seeker that you have to show some charity and just say, oh, come and work with us, we'll help you. That's not what it's about. It's about showing the respect that you show everyone, okay? 1 + 1 = 2 in Africa, in Asia, in America, and in Europe. So an engineer will be the same in all these countries as well, or all these continents as well. Respect them in the same way. And then I would also like to say to the people who come here and who And that's one thing I've noticed is that the confidence takes a deep dive, especially when you're in direct provision. When you haven't worked for a good while, there's no confidence left. And that is also something that needs working on. And that's what I also mean by decolonizing their minds as well. They don't need to think because they're coming to Europe that they're somewhere in a place where everyone is better or richer or whatever. You know, we're just all the same, and that is a big thing that I've noticed that we need to work on.
Right.
I hope you understand what I mean.
Yes, I think I get very much what you're saying. Now, what is really interesting to me is to find out how are they best placed in the working situation? Because Irish, mm-hmm. I realise myself, that there's an Irish culture within the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes may be very difficult for someone, like you said, who's come
from. Oh, I agree.
How do you help them to assimilate that? Because otherwise it could be, okay, that person is a bit ignorant, but it's not that they're ignorant, it's as a culture. And I think
this
as a culture, and they behave in a particular way, and if you don't fit into that, you can say, well, you don't know what you're doing, but you do know what you're doing, you just need to understand what the culture is.
Yeah, I think that is really the responsibility of the companies that hire people, okay? And that's where I come in with workshops. Because workshops need to be on intercultural dialogue, on multiculturalism, and we really do need to inform people on these things so that they are ready. And I think every company should really look at their organization, the structural organization, and what can be changed there. So I think that EDI, which is equality, should be equity, really, diversity and inclusion, should be part of the strategic plan of every company. And I think every company should work together with people like us or other NGOs to check where there are mistakes, okay, and how they can improve that. And if it's the culture, the Irish culture in the workplace, well, people need to be informed that the world has changed, and there needs to be some kind of processes where if people, for example, make these ridiculous jokes to, or don't include someone, that they can be rectified, you know, that person can go to his supervisor and say, look, I really don't feel part of this place here. And then there needs to be actions taken, because otherwise it will never end.
Right,
you know what I mean?
That, yes.
It really has to go from the upper level. It has to be decided that is going to be the culture of the company, you know, to welcome people and where everybody is equal. Because I was talking, actually, in preparation for this panel discussion, I was talking to a lady from Zambia who has come to Ireland to study business, and it took her over a year to find work, and then she found work in a bank. And she said, Rose, it was the most awful place to work for me, because she was the only woman of color there, and she was not included into anything. You know, as you said, that Irish culture, she was not part of that, and she didn't feel like she belonged. And there were a lot of microaggressions, and in the end, she looked for another job and she left. And now she works in one of those tech companies where, as you know, Apple and those places, they're very multicultural now. There's people from all over the world. And she said, Rose, it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. It's unbelievable. And that is really a decision from the top down, you know, that in the top they have decided this is not about tokenism. This is not us saying, look, we have a colored person that we put in every photograph. It's about, no, this is the culture of our company. Mm-hmm. And that is what needs to change. Yeah.
And are you able to train people in this? Is it possible? Is there
we're working on a workshop for that, and there are other organizations who do those workshops as well, like the Migrant Council of Ireland. I know they organize these things, and it really does need work. You know, you can't just decide tomorrow, oh, we're now a multicultural company, and there we go. No, you need to be informed, and you need to be trained in that, because as a tech company, you know all about technology, you know very little about interculturalism and those things. So there needs to be a collaboration, according to me. And I was reading ENAR, the European Network Against Racism's report on that as well, and they said exactly the same. There needs to be cooperation between these NGOs and organizations, civic organizations, and the companies to work together on their strategic plan and on the way that the culture in their company can be changed. It's a huge thing, you know. It's not too simple, but it needs to happen because the society has changed. Ireland has become multicultural, and it needs to be reflected in every company. That's what I think. And so that needs work, and I'm happy to help with that. I'd be delighted. Yeah.
And thank you for your explanation. You're really giving us insight. Now, what do you say about when people say, you know, it's obviously you understand this is a country, they've been so liberal in letting people come in and everything else, but Irish job for Irish people. Now, are these jobs you're organizing, are they taking it away from the Irish? Or is it that these are vacant jobs?
No,
job
I mean,
can get them?
Look, everyone is part of the Irish society, okay? Who lives here belongs here, as we say. It's not about the Irish blood, it's about the Irish community. And the Irish community consists of people from many different cultures. So they're not taking away anything from anyone. It's just giving jobs to people who live here. It's basically that, isn't it? I think it's very simple. You just have to look at it in a way that is realistic, which is we all live here and we all belong here and we should all be able to work here. And that's it. It has nothing to do with what kind of nationality you have in your blood, you know? I mean, that's a bit silly these days now. We can't do that anymore. All over the world has changed and we need to accept it.
Right. Listen, you're doing a great work. What you're doing there.
Thank
what would
you.
How would you like to see your company progress? What is the future of your company before we come to the end of this conversation?
You know, the ideal would be that we can close it down, wouldn't it? If they accept what we say, if everyone is finding work, you know, there shouldn't be a special company for refugees and asylum seekers, really, to help them find work. So the aim is that in a year or 10, we can say, okay, we've achieved our goal, and we can now leave it to other recruitment agencies, because we do a lot of other things as well. So, yeah, I think that would be an honest approach. Of course, we need to grow first, and what we want now, so far we've all worked voluntarily, but we really have reached a stage where we need funds, you know, because it's become so big that we need 24-hour people working on this, and we need funds. That's the first aim, and then the next aim, the final aim, is to be able to just dissolve into the community. Yeah.
Right. Listen, it's been a pleasure to have you just talk to us and give us insight on this and the fact that people are getting jobs, people are being recruited, and the fact that this organization has grown instead of decreased, because there's obviously a need for what you're doing. And,
and
I say thank you for doing that, and thank you for being awesome.
Thank
today.
You so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to have you today.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you very much. Bye now.
Thank you. That was Rose Domo.
Hello.
Hi.
Mm.
And
sorry.
Thank you very much. And we were, and it's been exciting to see that this company, which is Recruit Refugee Ireland, has grown and is developing. It's developing, it's recruiting people, and it's getting people jobs. And obviously there's a lot of information out there. So if you do want to get hold of them to get more information, if you're a company you say, listen, I think we could we've got a jobs coming up and we need to recruit, so listen, make sure you get hold of them, and they are more than welcome to give you information, also to help you with training that your company may need to absorb these people. Remember, they're not looking for charity. These are people that are skilled. They may need extra training to be able to understand English or anything like that, but they're actually skilled. And so it would be a pleasure to work with companies to work with this Recruit Refugee Ireland. That was Rose Dermot, and it was a pleasure talking to her today. So that's the end of me. I want to thank all the people that was on here, especially my producer, Arthur Callahan. I want to thank Gary for being here with me. I want to thank all the people that helps in the background, and to say that Near FM is an awesome company, and I really appreciate the opportunity to just come and be part of a culture of community radio. Thank you very much. That's Mary signing off for Northside today.
Near FM.